Richard, thank you for that good selection of songs that ties in so well with our theme for this week, beginning in the morning. We're here tonight as an assembly of disciples of Jesus Christ. We're gathered in His name, and in all that we do, we want to honor Him and keep in mind the purpose that brings us together. Tonight, we're going to look at different passages, but it is kind of in connection with this week's study that I'm gearing the lesson this evening. And I'm going just to, as far as the order of my plan, I want to talk with you about several passages and principles briefly. And I'm going to ask one of our elders, Brother Steve, to come up and lead us in prayer on behalf of this special effort. And then I want to say just a word about the specific lessons that are in store for us. And then we will extend the Lord's invitation. I do appreciate the teachers that have made the commitment to work for this week. In the nursery class, Miranda Johnson and Veronica McCluskey are teaching. And in ages 4 through kindergarten, Linda Malden and Barbara Holloway. Grades 1 and 2, Alicia and Marcia. Grades 3 and 4, Cheryl and Judy Kay. Grades 5 and 6, Billy Reese. And Brother Hank Allen is teaching grades 7 and on up, meaning by that junior high, high school, and college age. So we're kind of combining the young people's class, the young adults in that grouping. And the auditorium class, the adult class, I'll look forward to teaching that. So we, again, appreciate the work that has been done and all those that will take part as students in that, all of us working together. Boys and girls, I'm really looking forward to working with you. What we're going to do, we'll be meeting each morning, and we'll be singing several songs together. And we'll be talking just a little bit. I'm not going to teach the lesson because your teachers would get mad at me if I did that. We'll try to say some things to set the stage for the study. And then we'll have our class. And then when we come back in, we're not done yet. We're going, and especially this section right here where Julie is and on back, I especially want our young people seated here as we have done for about a quarter of a century. And I'm going to be giving you an opportunity to tell me what's something you have learned. And we'll have a blackboard down front, and I'm just going to write down things that you have learned. So we'll do that, and then we'll sing a dismissal song. We'll start promptly at 10 o'clock. If you come after 10 o'clock, you will miss something. So be here ready to start right at 10, and then we'll dismiss by 11:30 each morning. And as I think about you boys and girls and the rest of us, as you know, I've just been privileged to return from a country in which Brother Jenkins and I have for a 10-day trip gone to biblical sites for research and for photography. But it is a country that the vast majority of the country, the people do not recognize Jesus as the divine Son of God. And boys and girls, what that means is that when they go to a place where there is worship going on, and when they go to a place that scriptures might be referred to, they're not going to be taught what you're taught, the truth about Jesus. You know, when Jesus asked when he asked the disciples, and it was Peter that answered at Caesarea Philippi, gave the right answer, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Before that, when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" Well, Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, one of the prophets. And that's the answer that many people give today. In the country that I've just returned from, they would say Jesus is a prophet. But I'm thankful that our boys and girls and our young people will have this opportunity to know what is truth, to have opportunities that many other people do not have. And so we take it seriously, and we're not here to play. We're going to enjoy it, and we'll delight in it, but we're here to learn and to develop our relationship with God. Would you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2? One thing that I do from time to time, and I've mentioned this before, and I know you do this too, but I look at passages in various translations, other than the one that I usually teach from, which is the New King James. But I'll do reading in a variety of good translations, because it helps me to be fresh and to think and not just anticipate what I know the wording exactly is going to be. But anyway, I was doing that. I was reading from a different translation in 1 Peter chapter 2. And reference was made. Well, let me pull up the one that I was looking at here, if I may. I was looking at a translation that rendered verse 6 in the New King James, verse 7, says, "Therefore to you who believe, he is precious," that is Jesus, "is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." And I was reading in one translation that said, "So honor to you who believe, but for the unbelieving, the stone that the builders rejected, this one has become the cornerstone." So I was thinking, have I overlooked something? Is this talking about honor that God will bestow upon us? And that is a wonderful thought, and it's something that's taught in other passages. Remember that Jesus said that after you've done all that you're commanded to do, say, "We are unprofitable servants. We've just done what we were supposed to do." And so all of us, it's God's grace and mercy. What an honor it is. John said in 1 John 3 and verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you that we should be called the children of God." And when Jesus said that the one who confesses him before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. Oh, what glory that will be to hear Jesus call our name, for him to know us and own us. And so other passages teach about honor that will be bestowed upon us. However, as I look further, this really is not a passage that's talking about us having the honor, but it's talking about Jesus. But our part in that is to recognize Jesus for who he is, to see how precious he is. And so other translations render it accordingly. For example, the New International Translation, verse 7 of 1 Peter 2, "So you who believe see his value." It's his value. It's his honor. It's his preciousness. And there are two kinds of people. There are those that see Jesus for who he is, and those who do not. This passage is saying you either see who he is in God's plan, how precious he is, or he becomes a stone of stumbling. And so if we see how precious he is, and here is where honor is, here is where true value is, it's knowing Jesus. It's being in relationship with him. And you treasure that above all else, and you don't want to let that go. That's what he's saying on the one hand, and on the other hand, to the disobedient. Here's judgment that's going to come when you reject the Savior and you continue in your sin. And I say that to say that what we're about in special studies like this is doing things that enhance our knowledge of Jesus and hit God's plan that focuses on him, that's revealed throughout the Old Testament scriptures, for us to see the honor that God has bestowed upon the Son, to see the glory that is in him, to see the value, the preciousness that is in the Son of God. Now, for many of you, school has just come to an end. And it's like, you know, boy, I'm glad it's done. Good riddance to that. You know, right? But the truth is, if we're disciples of Jesus, if we're Christians, there's a sense in which we're always in school. Not necessarily in the education system, but we're disciples of Jesus. In Luke 6 and verse 40, Luke 6 verse 40 says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And here again, if you do some comparative readings, you'll see words such as a student, others may say pupil. And so here you are, you're pupils, you're students, we are learners. I sometimes say that the Great Commission has two parts. When Jesus told the apostles in Matthew 28, beginning at verse 19, to go and teach the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that's part one, the conversion process, the teaching process. How long does that take? Well, in the book of Acts, for some, it was the same hour of the night. For the Philippian jailer in Acts 16. For those on the day of Pentecost, it was in that day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls after they had heard one gospel sermon. And for some, it took longer. But you can learn what you need to know. God has made the gospel, which has such profundity, also have such simplicity. It has such depth, and yet he has made it that in a short time, a person can know what he needs to know in order to be saved and can respond to that. You don't have to go. I sometimes talk to people and they say, well, I'm going to catechism class. Got 3 months to go to catechism class, and then I'll become a member of this organization, this religious organization. And it doesn't take a 3 months process. It doesn't take a lot of catechism classes. You can be taught the gospel and in a short time make the far-reaching decision that will impact the rest of your life to become a child of God. However, Jesus then said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's part two. How long does that take? Well, you see, what that does is that describes the rest of your life. We're disciples. We're in training. We're in his school. And a disciple is not above his teacher. The objective of a disciple is to be like his teacher. And our objective and God's objective for us is to be like the master. As Romans 8 and verse 29, what was purposed from eternity by the Father was that those who would be saved and justified and eventually glorified would be conformed to the image of his Son. And so as Paul said in Colossians 1 verse 27, Christ in you, our hope of glory. And so that really is the objective of a special effort such as our Vacation Bible School. It's to remind us that whatever age we are, we're all students, we're disciples. And what we're wanting to learn is, yes, how the walls came tumbling down. Yes, how God parted the Red Sea when it looked like it was hopeless and the Egyptians were pursuing the Israelites. And we'll be studying those individual portions of Scripture and learning lessons from it. But the bigger picture is becoming more like Jesus. We're disciples. We want to learn what to do to become a Christian. But then as Christians, we want to learn all things the Lord has commanded. And so to enable us then to dare to stand like Joshua, to enable us to say, as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. I've been thinking this past week about some things we might say tonight, just in terms of characteristics and marks of a disciple. And really, it's so broad. When Brother Earnhardt talked to us about the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, I mean, all of those traits that Jesus began with, about being poor in spirit, about mourning, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, all those things. It's mark of a disciple to recognize how much we need the Lord and how much we want His righteousness. And we're asking and seeking and we're knocking for those things. We're doing the will of the Father in heaven. So all of that is a discourse on discipleship. And then I also thought of specific times when Jesus would be doing some teaching, such as over in Matthew chapter 13. He's teaching about the parables. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 36, Jesus sent the multitude away, went into the house. The disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the meaning of the tares. Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." And I made notations of several times where the disciples would come to the Lord and say, "Lord, explain that to us." And boys and girls, that's the attitude. We come to the Lord not telling Him what to do, not saying what we think, but we say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." And so if we want to learn. And so we keep a mark of discipleship is we're in an ongoing quest to find out what the Lord means. And we're not just wanting to have that so we can know and discuss it and talk about it and even plan about it. God isn't pleased till we take these principles that we learn and apply it so that it transforms our hearts and our minds and we put it into action. And so that's the objective of what we're doing, not just to learn some things, but to put it into practice. But repeatedly you have that. Another passage that occurred to me is over there in Luke chapter 11. In Luke 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass as Jesus was praying in a certain place, that when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray.'" And you see, that's the purpose of what we're about this week. Coming to the Lord with this kind of attitude, "Lord, teach us to pray, to live, to think, and in every way to do your will." So the specific section of Scripture that we're looking at will have specific lessons that we'll be drawing from, that all your teachers will be looking at. But the purpose of this is that we might taste of the Lord and know that He is good. That we might love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. That the one thing that we boast of is that we know the Lord. The thing that we glory in is that He knows us. Steve, would you come up and lead us in prayer, please, at this time?
Our God and our Father who art in heaven, as we come before your throne, we come in recognition of your majesty, your holiness, your greatness, your mercifulness, and your love. Father, we come in a very special way at this time as we consider some studies that we have planned for the congregation this week. This series of studies that focuses upon the time when you led your people out of Egypt to the land which you had promised them. We pray, Father, that as the teachers that have agreed to guide these hearts this week are preparing themselves and have prepared their classrooms, that you will be with them, that you will bless their efforts. We're mindful of Miranda and Veronica, Linda and Barbara, Alicia and Marcia and Cheryl and Judy Kay, as they guide these younger hearts to an understanding that God has a law for His people, that as they see these stories in the Bible unfold, these truths contained therein, that they will see that you are indeed a leader of your people, that you protect your people and you provide for your people, and that you keep your promises. We pray, Father, that as they lead these young hearts, that these young hearts will be amazed and marvel at the stories of your character and your nature and your love for your people, and that they will also be mindful of the fact that you are a God that expects obedience and trust in you. Father, we're mindful of Billy and Hank as they have agreed to lead the hearts of our young people, as they have agreed to direct their minds. These hearts at this age, Father, are starting to sort out these truths and test them to try to understand them. They are starting to reason about them. And we pray, Father, you would bless Billy and Hank in a special way as they lead these minds, that they will be able to take the truths that they learned this week and see how they fit into their lives so that they will be able to stand for truth. Father, we understand that as we consider the hearts of these children, as we consider the teachers directing these hearts, that the day will come, the time will come, when they will become the teachers of younger people, when they will become the deacons and the elders in local congregations. The day will come, Father, when they will be leading from the pulpits in teaching and preaching of your word. Father, help us to appreciate and value the opportunities that you have bestowed upon us to lead these hearts to a closer relationship to you, to a greater and deeper understanding of the love that you have shown towards us, the care since before the beginning of time that you have shown towards your people. Father, we are so thankful for the parents of the children, so grateful for their interest in your word and your truth, and in teaching their children your truth. It is evident, Father, that our parents are working in their homes to try to instill these principles within the hearts of their children. We pray, Father, that you would continue to bless them and help them to see and grasp those teachable moments when they can remind them of your truth, even of times such as they will study this week, of God giving his, of you giving your law at Sinai, of leading the people and protecting them as they journeyed in the wilderness. You fed them, you provided water, you preserved them. And as you led them in conquering the land of Canaan, which you had promised to give, Father, help us all each day to be mindful of the truths contained in these lessons, in these texts, that we might be drawn closer to you, and that out of these lessons and out of these truths, we would be mindful of the promises you have made to us through Jesus Christ, that as we become more and more like him each day, as our faith and trust in you increases, that we can live in assurance of the promise that you will provide for us. We will have what we need in this life, that you will protect us, that if you are for us, no one can be against us that could conquer us. And knowing, Father, that ultimately one day you will give us that home that you have promised for us. Again, Father, we pray in a very special way you would be with the studies that are planned for this week. We have been mindful of the teachers, we're mindful of the parents, and we're so mindful of the students and the young hearts as they endeavor to know your truth. Father, bless us to the end that the glory is yours. We pray that everything that we do throughout this week will be ordered in such a way that they will be able to see you, that even those who come and visit will realize that our interest and our focus is on people knowing you, knowing your Son, and knowing what you have prepared for us. It's to this end we offer this prayer at this time. We offer our thanks to you. We offer you our praise. And again, Father, we beseech your blessings upon us throughout this week in these studies from your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I have nothing of which to boast, but I do want to tell you I'm thankful to God for my fellow elders, for the shepherd's hearts that they have, as manifested just in our brother Steve leading us in this prayer. I could wish that every congregation of God's people could have shepherds that are trying with God's help to provide for spiritual nourishment and guidance and for good spiritual food. And so many congregations, and again, I hope that none of that's taken in a boastful way. But I can tell you, I did not grow up with these kind of opportunities, and many of you did not either. And I'm thankful for that, and it's one of those things we should not take for granted. God has blessed us so abundantly, and I'm thankful for that. Thank you, Brother Steve, for the shepherd's heart that you manifested and for the prayer in which you have led us. You know, all of us are on a journey toward eternity. I know that the depth of understanding is not as great when one is young as it will be when one is older. But these young people, when they're leading a song, they like to lead songs like "I'll Fly Away," "When I Die," "Hallelujah, By and By," and songs about the morning of the resurrection and how happy that will be. And I know that when a youngster sings that, he doesn't understand it like he will when he is older. But what is true is that unless Jesus comes first, that all of us here will die. All of the children here at some point will die. And if that's not the case and Jesus comes before we die and depart that way, either way, it's still true. We're making a journey toward eternity. Every one of us are. And so how we conduct ourselves here in this life and what we fill our minds with and what we determine to do at that point when we die or when the Lord returns, and so then we enter into that next realm. We pass from this life and we're making the step into eternity. It will be determined by how we respond now. So what we want to do is we want, with God's help, to be equipped so that our treasure is in heaven. And when we depart from this life, and none of us knows, I mean, even just this past week, I know of several unexpected deaths that have occurred. And none of us knows when the time of our death will be. But we want to be so equipped that when we come into the very presence of God, that we will be in right relationship with Him. So how do you have a vacation Bible school? Well, it's a means to an end. And here again, I'm not going to say anything beyond noticing that we're looking at the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, and then at Marah, God made the bitter waters sweet. And at Kadesh Barnea, the report of the spies. And then during the wilderness wandering in Numbers 16, Korah's rebellion. But finally, Israel enters into God's promised land. But I'm stressing those are not just individual stories to tell stories, but it's a part of the purpose that we're trying to nourish here, and that is to help us in our journey to eternity. I want to go to heaven. And of those that God entrusts to me to have an influence upon, I do not want to lose one. And so that's what we're about. And so this week, let's be joyful and enthusiastic about the right things. Let's put our hearts into it. Let's implore God's blessings upon it. It's something that deserves our very best effort in presence and in our prayers, inviting others. We're doing this because we need this here at Hanceville, but it's right to ask others to share with us in the good things of the gospel. And so use the cards, your word of mouth, that personal invitation where you ask someone to come will mean more to them than anything else could mean as far as motivating somebody. So let's all do that, and may God's blessings be upon us. May He be glorified in all things. Let's get our invitation song here, as Richard has announced, number 293. Come to Jesus today. The Lord invites you to come. I mentioned this evening that in a short time one can learn that God is, that we have sinned against God, that Jesus is God's plan for salvation, and the conditions of pardon. We must believe in Him with all of our heart and repent of our sins, confess our faith, and submit to the command to be baptized. And when we do that, every sin will be washed away by the blood of Christ. Come to Jesus today. If you've done that and you've wandered away, God has a second law of pardon. That is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come to Jesus as we stand and sing. Amen.